92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Now it's time for your daily pep talk on News Radio Pensacola. Text in the show at 850-437-1620.
I just keep my head up high, 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 oh. Good morning. Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. 850-437-1620 if you want to be on the show today. I'm your host, PJ. In the studio with me right now is Mike Wiggins. And the garden line is open, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day.
Absolutely beautiful
day. I got some mail this morning, and I was like, this is a great temp.
Oh, this is perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
October, this is the first of October,
Can
be a great month. And one thing about October, though, is that it can be very dry unless we get some type of tropical weather, even minor tropical weather. Because otherwise, it just is a dry month, which is fine. It's beautiful weather, so much to do. Andrew was talking about a lot of the activities this month. And so get out and enjoy. But insofar as our lawns and horticulture are concerned, just don't forget the water. I'm going back to 3 days a week, 30, 45 minutes per zone. And let's do it now. Let's do it now. And because if you don't, then we're going to get back into that drought situation we were in, insofar as the health of our plants and our lawn was suffering because we didn't get any water. So let's get back to watering again. I know we all don't want to. It's like mowing. We get into the fall and we say, hey, I'm going to mow one more time, and that's it. Well, it generally is not it. You still got to mow. But watering is the key thing that we've got to do. And talking about water, I cannot go one more minute without saying how bad we feel for the folks in St. Mark's and Perry and the Carolinas and Tennessee. The pictures that you see on television and in print, it looks like Ivan. It looks like what happened here with Ivan, which was an absolute catastrophe. Mm-hmm. And up there, their roads, their infrastructure, their businesses are just demolished. It's just amazing to me weather-wise how a tropical system can make landfall here in the Big Bend area.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a phone call from my brother, who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina, saying, Mike, we are really having some flood problems up here. Mm-hmm. He's very fortunate. He lives up on a hill.
Yeah.
But he says, you won't believe the flooding going on here in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that's halfway up the country.
Yep.
So it's just amazing the force of those storms and what they can do.
Yeah, I have a friend in the Carolinas, too, and she lost power because of it. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he didn't have any power.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't know when he was going to get it.
Yeah.
And it was like us, once again, with Ivan. I mean, we went weeks without power.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what we had to do, we had to, you know, eat what we had in the freezer real quick.
Yeah.
On the grill. You know, we all know that drill. So hopefully that won't happen again.
All right.
But the last thing about tropical storms is keep your eyes on the tropics. There's a little action possible, not done yet, possible down there. And we just need to look at that every day and see which way it's going.
Mm-hmm.
And then do what we have to do.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Continue our discussion on hurricane impacts here in a second, but we do already, like I said, the garden line is open, so we do have a question for you first thing this morning.
Oh,
good. Go ahead, caller. Hello?
Hey, this is Dan.
Dan, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm enjoying this weather.
Man, it's
I'm getting ready to, I want to top dress my lawn, my Augustine lawn, in the near future. I'm going to use one of those mulch rollers, you know, with the little cage type thing to spread it instead of throwing it around with a shovel.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So I guess what I should do is, you know, I may rake the yard again with my pull behind lawn raker.
Yes.
And then water it real good. And then spread the dirt on it, then water all that in real good.
Well, that'll work, Dan. But I mean, it's one thing. This is a personal opinion. I'm not that big on top dressing lawns, be it centipede, zoysia, or St. Augustine. I'm not sure exactly what it does unless you've got some undulations in that turf and you're trying to level things out. But if you do top dress, obviously using sand is what you want to use. You don't want to use red clay. I've seen people do that. And if you put it on too thick, you know, which it can literally smother your good grass, and then you've got more problems than you've got now. So, Dan, I'd be real careful how I did it. It sounds like you've got it together. You've got the equipment to do it. But a lot of folks I've seen say, okay, I think I'll top dress my lawn. I'm going to order some dirt. And before you know it, they've got a four-foot-high pile of red clay in their front yard, and they've got to do something with it. And it only took, let's say, 10% of that soil to lightly cover the yard. And then what do you do with the rest of it? But in any event, it's not my favorite activity. I'm not sure exactly why one would want to do it on a regular basis. But if you do it, I think you're doing it right. Just be sure you do it thin enough. Just don't cake it up. Don't make big mounds of dirt left on your good grass.
Yeah.
That's
well,
one man's opinion.
The areas I want to do is right along the road. Where where I have to edge a lot.
Yeah.
It needs some dirt there or sand. Now, one place I checked, the sand is real fine. They call it topsoil. Another place I went, it's, I guess, black dirt.
Yeah, I don't think
they call it topsoil.
Yeah, Dan, I don't think you want that. I really don't. I would go with the very fine, light sand. White sand is where I've seen people use white sand. That works if you're going to do that. But, yeah, if you've got an area that needs it, I would certainly stick to that lighter, finer soil.
Yeah, well, I'm running over some pine tree roots in my yard because it's sunk down some, so I need to bring that up a little bit.
Well, and there
so I'll go with the fine sand in the places that I need. I'm going to get maybe a yard, put it in the back of my truck. That way I can just have it in the truck and then use it where I need it.
Well, you see, you're right on target. That's the way to do it, because I think you and I both know, if we've lived here long enough, that you've seen those big piles of dirt delivered to some of your neighbors, and before long they're knocking on your door saying, "Do you need some dirt?" No.
All right.
But anyway, Dan, good luck to you on that one, my friend. Be careful.
All right. Thank you for the call, Dan. We do have another text on the text line here as well. Looks like they want to treat Virginia buttonweed. And when would be a good time to do that?
Yeah. Well, we're getting real close to that. We're getting real close. Virginia buttonweed, as we all know, has a little white blossom on it, and which makes it a broadleaf weed. And if we're going to fight the broadleaf weeds in the fall, you need two things. One, you need you can use a post-emergence weed control, but you've got to wait for it to cool off just a little bit. I would really like the night temperatures to be in the 60s for a good 4 or 5 days, and the daytime temperatures no more than the low 80s. And then you can go ahead and spray. I found over the years there's a product called Carfenazone. You have to ask your nurseryman if he stocks it, which has on the label, this helps kill Virginia buttonweed. But it's a real problem. And it's real funny about that weed, and maybe it was just my observation was wrong, but ever since we had a hurricane, I can't remember back it was maybe back in the 90s, not sure which one, it really wasn't that big a deal. We never really fought Virginia buttonweed. But I'm a firm believer that storm brought in Virginia buttonweed, and it's been a perennial problem in our area ever since. But if you can find a weed killer that is a post-emergence that has a carfenazone in it, you're good. Now, one thing I recommend to you also is, especially in the fall when the weather can shift, it can get warm again, get cold again, but if you do spray, use your pump-up sprayer. Don't use your hose attachment sprayer, because if you have the hose attachment, you're covering probably more area than you need. You need to isolate that spray to where the weeds are. That's the old integrated pest management philosophy, where you just don't need to spray where you don't have a problem. But use a pump-up sprayer with that liquid weed killer and go ahead and use it when the temperature moderates just a little bit. The second thing to do, we'll talk about later in the show, using your pre-emergence to help with next year's problem. But time to step aside a minute. We'll take
a break. We'll be back right after this.
Finding a landscaper that will actually call you back? Check. Finding one that offers high-end designs complemented with 3D walkthrough designs and 2D renderings? Check. Finding a great landscaper that can also execute beautiful landscape and hardscape designs? Check. Finding one that knows how to erect outdoor pergolas, fences, patios, and kitchens? Check. Finding the right landscaper that also offers irrigation services? Check.
Hi, this is Lindsay with Blue Sky Landscapes. Call us today for a free quote and check out our work at blueskypensacola.com.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on all new American Standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
Join CareerSource Escarosa on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. They'll be here to talk about the Manufacturing and Skilled Trade Career Expo on October 2nd at the Gateway Church in Pensacola, as well as the I-10 Wired Career Evolution Expo coming up on October 16th at the Hilton Conference Center on Pensacola Beach. CareerSource Escarosa looks forward to steering your career on the right path.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620. If you want to join us on the Garden Line and Pep Talk today, we also have Robert on the line. I really appreciate you holding, Robert. Go ahead with your question.
I live down in Navarre, and I live on a bayou that has a pretty good steep hill that goes straight down to the bayou.
Yes.
And right now, on that hill, all that's growing there is some weeds and some sort of tall grass that grows up that we'd eat down all the time.
Right.
What would be a good ground cover for me to put on that hill so I don't have to mess with it no more? I don't want it to get real tall or anything like that. I want the ground cover to stay about 6 inches or so off the ground.
Right. I would think that Asiatic jasmine might be a good choice for you. We've got to be sure that it'll take, you know, the salt effect from all the water. I think that would be good. Of course, right. You could always put in St. Augustine grass. Now, you don't want to go right to the water's edge, but St. Augustine grass is a pretty good grass insofar as putting up with that. Some of my best customers over the years had beautiful St. Augustine grass at the beach, and just as long as they fertilized it and mowed it right, it really did thrive there with all that salt and wind and that type of thing. But I would be tempted to try some of the Asiatic jasmine, which is a vining cover, and it's not going to get tall. It's just very low. But yet you plant them, you can buy and plant them, say, on, let's say, 1 to 2 foot centers, and they'll cover pretty quickly. So that might be something you may want to do. So that's what I would think. And I also think maybe some of your some of your ornamental grasses might do well down there. My favorite is that muley grass, which has a purple bloom in the fall. But it may be grow higher than you want. Let's say 4 feet maybe. But it is a beautiful grass. It'll go, I don't want to say dormant, but you'll need to cut it back in the winter. But then it'll come back in the spring strong. So some of those might work also.
Yeah.
One last one I might consider maybe an evergreen giant liriope, which is just a big monkey grass, but it's got a wider blade and it's very, very hardy. That might be a good one to use also. That's something you never have to mow. You would never really have to take care of it per se. So that's another idea.
Well, the hill is so steep that I can't mow it. There's absolutely no way to mow it. So that's why I'm looking for something I can put there and forget it forever.
Well, I would try that jasmine, and I would look into some of the ornamental grasses. I think both of those are plantings that it's Pensacola. You always have to take care of it some way. I mean, if we hit a drought, you got to water it. But if you would do those two things, I think you'd be successful.
All right. Thank you for the call, Robert.
Thank you, Robert. Appreciate it.
Another question on the text line here. How soon can I apply Dimension to my yard?
I like to put Dimension is a pre-emergence herbicide. Keeps weeds from coming up. I like to do that generally in November, late October and November, and then come right back and do it again 90 days later in February. And we've always talked on the Garden Line that November application kind of makes sense. But in February, the last thing you're thinking about is putting weed killer on your lawn. Mm-hmm. But you've got to get that weed killer out before the weeds emerge, because that's hence the term pre-emergence. It's you put it on before the weeds emerge. If you wait till let's say April to do it, the weeds are there, and that pre-emergence isn't going to do you much good. So, yeah, that Dimension, I would go late fall, early spring.
Okay.
That's what I would do.
If you have any questions today, 850-437-1620 for Mike Wagons and the Garden Line. You're listening to Pep Talk. Another question for you. Looks like they have some flowers in their backyard. Now the leaves look like somebody threw white paint on the leaves. What causes that phenomenon?
You know, I think you're going to go back to the drought. I think that really affected a lot of plants. I had a copper plant, one of my favorites. And as it grew, it got too big for, I had it in a pot, and it got too big for the pot. But I had the same thing happen. So I really believe it's probably stress that has caused that, drought stress. I don't think there's much one can do about it. Depending on what type of plant or flower it is, I think you might want to cut it back some. Be careful with your pruning this time of year. You don't want to radically do it. But that's what I would do. And probably a little fall fertilization, just a little bit, very lightly, might help that new growth. It just depends on what the plant is.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to sit here and say, if it looks like it had white paint on it, that probably was a byproduct of the drought.
Okay, sounds good. We'll be back with more Pep Talk right after this.
Attention hunters, it's time to get better results for your food plots, and Barnes Feed Store has what you need to help make your hunting season a success. If you have soil sample results, bring it in and they'll point you in the right direction. Get your bags of pre-mixed seeds or single seeds, deer protein, rice bran, deer candy, and your headquarters for Pennington Rackmaster. Get your food plots right this year. Get over to Barnes Feed Store, a proud Pensacola tradition for over 65 years in Enslin, Old Palafox, and in Molino on Highway 29.
October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month. As the leader in identity theft protection, LifeLock reminds you to update your passwords. Using the same password across multiple accounts makes you vulnerable to cyber criminals. Updating your passwords is only one way to help protect yourself. For comprehensive identity theft protection, you need LifeLock. LifeLock not only alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information, but also fixes issues that arise. Start protecting your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com, promo code CLAY.
Join Claimology Thursday at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Matthew Vanderford with Claimology will be talking about insurance claims. He'll be discussing storm claims, as well as the importance of being properly insured prior to a storm and inspections after a storm. Matthew will be taking calls to answer your questions, so you'll know what to do before the next storm arrives. That's Thursday at 9:30 with Claimology on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach in October means the season is starting to wind down. Every Tuesday night at 7, thanks to the Santa Rosa Island Authority, you've been able to enjoy great live music on Pensacola Beach. This week, the Blind Mullets take the stage. They're from Perdido Key, and they play everything from Lynyrd Skynyrd to Lenny Kravitz. It's Bands on the Beach tonight at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you'd like to be on the show today. The Garden Line is open with Mike Wiggins if you have any questions for him. And we have another question on the text line for you. Says, what would you recommend to take care of this camellia leaf problem? Is it a fungus or lack of iron? And you took a look at the pictures over.
Yeah, I did take a look at it, and quite frankly, I think it could be a little bit of both. Let's do the fungus first. Those, what you're seeing on the leaves, it's a little brown spot, kind of a two-colored spot from what the picture looks like. The old folks, that's the old folks, that's me. Wait a minute. I was going to say, the old folks used to call that frog eye, so I'll call it frog eye. I am one of the old folks. But anyway, frog eye, which is a little fungus spot. Generally, that is just cosmetic. It's there. There's not much you can do about it. The new growth, probably next spring, will not have that. So I don't think there's a lot of spraying and things you have to do to tend to that. Now, insofar as the nutritional needs of those camellias, yes, a little iron would be good. Look for the chelated iron. That's a word that will be on the label. That's a little quicker action, and it might do a little bit better than just your liquid iron, chelated iron. Many of the fertilizers for camellias, especially azaleas, camellias, gardenias, have that in it. It's got iron in it and a little bit of nitrogen. You just have to be careful, especially in my opinion, with those camellias, about over-fertilizing them this time of year. You just don't want to promote a whole lot of brand-new growth that could get damaged by an early freeze, because the camellias are going to be ready to go here very soon. They're going to start blooming here as we get into late fall. And so you don't want to do anything to weaken the plant, as you will. So I would put a little bit of iron on there, chelated iron. I would not tend to the spots. Eventually, I don't think that'll be a problem. And look forward to the blooms. They're coming. As a matter of fact, I think our good friend Skip Vogelsang, I mentioned that to you last week, who has been president of the Camellia Club, Pensacola Camellia Club, will be with us to talk the whole show on camellias. And he always brings those gorgeous blooms. And the staff of the radio station generally lines up to get their blooms. But Skip does a great job for us, and it's always great to have him on. But, right. Yes, that's what I would do for my camellias.
All right, perfect. We have about a minute left. You took a look at this picture as well. This weed is in several places in our St. Augustine lawn. The spray isn't working. What do you recommend?
It's a spurge, which is a small vining type weed. It's a broadleaf weed also, which means the one remedy you have is spray, like a Trimec or like that carfenazone we talked about earlier, a 2,4-D mixture. So there are some things you can spray it with. When we get back after the break, let's come back to this and talk about it a little bit more.
All right, sounds good.
I'm CJ Papa, striking workers in Seabrook, Texas. Joining union members at 36 major ports on the East and Gulf Coast.
I'm not going to settle for nothing but the best.
Harold Daggett, president of the International Longshoremen's Association. Fox's Brooke Taylor in Seabrook.
The International Longshoremen Association asked for a 77% pay raise over a six-year contract to make up for inflation prices. They also want a ban on automation.
The last deal offered by employers turned down by the union. Oh, former President Jimmy Carter, born on this day in 1924.
Happy 100th birthday. You've always been a moral force for our nation and the world.
President Biden saluting the longest living former president who is at home in Plains, Georgia, in hospice care. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 9:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 78 degrees right now. It is sunny and a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. Well, it's October now. That means, well, only one more month to catch the Blue Angels performing practice air shows in Escambia County. They will be back after San Francisco air show. They've got shows planned for October 16th, 22nd, and 23rd. The 16th and 23rd are also autograph days at the Naval Air Museum. On the days of the practice air shows, gates open at 9, flight lines at 9:30, practice at 10:30. Today, that new state law banning public camping goes into effect. That prohibits people from sleeping on public property all across the state and requires local governments to enforce the law or risk being held liable.
We've been meeting with for months now. We have kind of had an eye towards October.
Yeah.
Thinking that the county may call us and say, hey, we have people on the right of way. Can you help remove them per state law? So we're prepared for that. We're ready, certainly willing to do what needs to be done.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons there. He says so far the county has not contacted his office about removing anybody that's camping on public property. The law goes into effect today, but local governments can't be sued for not enforcing it until next year. Recovery from Helene and the storm's aftermath could take years in some parts of the southeast. That's especially true in western North Carolina. In Asheville yesterday, the death toll more than tripled to at least 40, and across the region, some 130 deaths have been reported.
Plenty of sunshine today with just a few passing clouds, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. Keeping that sunny weather around for your Wednesday, high near 89 degrees. Low Wednesday night near 69 degrees. For Thursday, rain chances increase with a 50% chance of rain, high near 85. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEARTV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 78 in Pensacola, 75 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Your next news at 10, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. crude oil prices have risen nearly 3% as the U.S. warned of a possible imminent attack by Iran against Israel. West Texas Intermediate's November contract spiked $2.01 to $70.22 per barrel. Brent's December contract is up $1.95 to $73.65 per barrel. U.S. auto sales are projected to grow at a weaker pace in the third quarter from a year earlier. Experts say growth has tapered off as buyers struggle to navigate higher expenses. Market research firm J.D. Power estimates overall new vehicle sales will be up 0.2% in the third quarter. Major League Soccer has reached a deal with One Football, an international media platform known for showing highlights, stats, and other content for professional soccer teams. MLS will also invest in One Football, joining a group of shareholders that includes European clubs such as Real Madrid, FC Barcelona, and more. Stocks are sharply lower as oil costs spike. That's your money now.
And now, with a step back in the archives of Pensacola News,
Here's John Appleyard.
October the 1st, 1559, from Oshoos or Pensacola in Spanish West Florida. This is News Radio 1620. And now also on FM 92.3. As we report today, a crowd of the DeLuna followers has assembled here to talk with and get information from Major Del Sauz, who with his 7 cavalrymen has just returned from a successful search for the Coosa Indian village of Nanakapana. Almost 5 weeks ago, Del Sauz and his men were ordered to seek the village, which had been identified in reports from the DeSoto expedition of 17 years ago. At that time, no white man had actually seen Nanakapana. Now, with the DeLuna force left without supplies after the terrible storm of late August, this effort was made to seek a place where food might exist. And happily, the report is good. The major and his men did find the small settlement along a large river, as was reported. So now the question is, can the roughly 1,200 Spanish survivors, men, women, and children, make a march through this wilderness? This is John Appleyard for News Radio 1620.
It's that time of year again, hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters.
Good morning and welcome to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you'd like to be on the show today. I'm with Mike Wiggins, and the garden line is open. We were talking a little bit before the break about a weed that was...
Spurge.
Yes.
Spurge, little vining weed, yes, which is a broadleaf. And what we do, we handle that very, well, almost exactly like we talked about the Virginia buttonweed earlier, where you want to go ahead and use your post-emergence when temperatures cool just a little bit, and then your pre-emergence, like the dimension that the other caller talked about, in November. So there is a strategy there, but that's a tough weed. One thing we always need to consider, and sometimes it sounds nice, it's harder to do than it sounds, is do everything else right. To make our lawns thick. Mow it high. Water when it needs it. And right now, it's going into October, it needs it. Fertilize it correctly with springtime fertilizer, summer fertilizer, if it calls for that, depending on what type of grass you have, and then the winterizer fertilizer. And the point is, do all these cultural things, which is going to make your grass healthier to grow. If it looks like if you're in a shady area, then do some tree trimming.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't even try and do some landscaping. Landscape your way out of that with big natural areas of some kind. There's a lot of strategies to help lower the weed population. But this is Pensacola. They're going to come. And so you need to do everything you can to keep that healthy, lush, thick lawn, which will... kind of force out the weeds. But this spurge is a tough one. And the last thing you want to do is what the texter said, is have to get out there and pull them.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard work. That is no fun. Plus, last month, can you imagine sitting out there on a stool pulling weeds when it's 99 degrees? No.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do that. So follow those other strategies, and none of them are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are perfect, give it a try.
All right. This next message on the text line, actually, it looks like it's maybe 3 questions and 1 text message, so we'll take them one at a time. Can Encore azaleas be planted in full sun 6:30 a.m. until 4 p.m.? That's the first part. So can that be done? I'll give them to you one at a time because okay. I don't want to overwhelm you.
I prefer a little bit of filtered sun for Encore azaleas. Encore azaleas is not technically a dwarf azalea. It's a lower-growing azalea. I always look at a dwarf azalea like a coral bell. Coral bell's a real pink one, and I've seen people try to grow that in the full sun, and it just hasn't worked. I have a few encore azaleas, and, of course, they call them encore because they bloom in spring, and then they'll bloom later in the year. Mm-hmm. And mine have done just that. I've been very, very pleased. I've got a white one. But I am very close to an oak tree, and it doesn't get total oak tree shade, but it's kind of filtered sun, and that's where they've thrived. I think full sun might be a problem. So I would prefer a more filtered. Doesn't want full shade, that's for sure. That could be just as bad. But filtered pine tree shade, that type of thing, mm-hmm. might be the ideal situation.
Okay. Also asking about their hydrangeas are now covered in black spots, and the leaves are light yellow. I don't know if that's as a result of it maybe being in direct sunlight.
Well, that could be, but right now some of the hydrangeas are looking like that way insofar as the spots on the leaves. Remember we talked about that a minute ago? Mm-hmm. Those are little fungal spots on there, which probably, or I shouldn't say probably, they are inconsequential. They're not going to kill the plant. There's nothing you can do about it. You may just want to be very, very careful about it being in the full blaring sun. Maybe move it into a filtered shade situation for now. But one thing about that hydrangea you've got to be very careful about. If it's got problems like that, a lot of us say, well, I'm going to prune that problem out. I'm going to cut it way back because it's going to go dormant anyway. Hydrangea is going to go dormant. I'm going to prune it way back. Well, for hydrangeas, you don't want to do that, because they will bloom next year on new growth, or I shouldn't say new growth, on old growth. Mm-hmm. And so you got to be very careful you don't cut it way, way back. Leave some of that old growth on there so it has the color you want next year. But, yeah, if it's in full sun, I might move it into a little filtered shade. But otherwise, to keep it watered. That's one thing. They'll dry out fast. Keep it watered and watch your pruning, and I think you'll be fine.
All right. Final part of their question is, how do I treat the bed's soil prior to new plantings?
Oh, that is a great question. Insofar as treating the soil, if you're going to plant anything, did you say what they were going to plant?
I did not, no.
Did not. That's okay. We don't have soil in Pensacola. We have sand, depending on where you live. Gulf Breeze, Pensacola proper, just sand. So if you're going to plant anything, be it encore azaleas, or if you're going to plant vegetables, if you're going to plant blooming plants, if you're going to plant hydrangeas, whatever, all the plants we've talked about this morning, you've got to amend that soil. And what you do, in my opinion, if you got a bed, you clean it out so it's nothing but nice, level sand. Put about 3 to 4 inches of Canadian sphagnum peat moss over that area. Sprinkle a little bit of low nitrogen fertilizer on there. And then, depending what you're planting, you'll need to check this, a little bit of lime. If you're putting azaleas in there, no, you don't want to put lime. If you're putting bedding plants like begonias and periwinkle, that type of thing, a little lime. It's not critical, but that's the recipe. Mm-hmm. But the important thing is that Canadian sphagnum peat moss, and then turn it all under, 4 to 6 inches. Rake it smooth and plant away, and you're ready. But you really need to amend the soil for everything we do. If you're planting individual plants, let's go back to the encore azaleas. What you want to do is take that encore azalea out of its pot. And many times, especially azaleas, the roots are wound around that root ball. That's how they grow while they're in that plastic pot. You've got to loosen those up. You've got to score those roots. A lot of new gardeners say, I've got to take it out of the pot and very gingerly put it in the ground. No, you don't want to do that. You need to loosen those roots. You can do it with a box cutter, do it with your gloves, whatever, because you want those roots to be loose so they'll grow outwards mm-hmm. and accept the nutrients that are put there. That's very, very important. And then put your peat moss in the hole in which you're going to put the encore azalea, if you will, and water in the hole, plant it, and you're going to be much better off.
All right. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and your questions right after this.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. And the Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory-Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not. Regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Rosh Hashanah at Jackson's, Atlas Beverage Class, Harvest Dinner at Angelina's, flavors that forge the South Dinner at Jackson's, holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. That's all tomorrow at 9.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
Hey, Andrew McKay here on the Pensacola Morning News. We talked about Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose passing away, and the likelihood that he will be put in the Hall of Fame, depriving him of enjoying that during his lifetime. We also talked about Gen Z and why so many employers are firing new graduates. John Kerry says the First Amendment is what is keeping us from developing consensus around climate change. Of course, the vice presidential debate, and Sheriff Simmons talked with us about local crime issues. You can listen to all of those podcasts at newsradio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning and welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you want to be part of the conversation today. In studio with me is Mike Wiggins, and the garden line is open. We do have another question on the text line for you. Should I dethatch and aerate my St. Augustine, and when should I do that?
Well, one, I think that one answer is if you're going to do it in the spring. That would be my advice. I'm not a huge fan of that because sometimes it can go wrong. It depends on, one, who's doing it. If you hired somebody to do it, you got to generally they know what they're doing. But you have to be real careful if you're sometimes you get a verticutter, which would kind of tear up the St. Augustine a little more than you wanted to. Or you can get the plugs, aerate it by digging the plugs out with the little machine that's kind of on a cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
I have found over the years, maybe it's just personal, that a good heavy raking, get your leaf rake out there and really put a little elbow grease into it, and that generally will suffice. But if you're going to aerate it, not a big deal. You can do it. Just be very careful of the equipment that you use. Ask all the questions to if you hire somebody to do it. Be sure they know what they're doing and know that there's some potential dangers there to damage the yard. So personally, I don't do it. But if you are going to do it, be sure to do it right.
Mm-hmm. 850-437-1620 if you have any questions for Mike on the garden line today. We had actually started the show talking a little bit about hurricanes and impacts on people's trees and what have you. You wanted to talk about palm trees and why they're so durable during hurricanes.
It's always that's an interesting topic. I don't even know if we have time to do it today, but let me just kind of give the Cliff Notes version of some of this stuff. If you look at the pictures of the hurricanes, while the wind's blowing, and we've all seen them very while the storm is active, the palm trees are just bending over. But then when it's all over, they're back to being straight again.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the live oaks, the river birch, the pine trees are totally demolished. The palm trees seem to survive. So there are a couple of ways, a couple of reasons for that. One, they've got obviously flexible trunks. They're much more flexible than, say, a live oak, if you will. They have a fibrous root system. Their roots are not really deep, but they spread out widely, and for lack of a better word, they have a bottom-heavy base. And so they are not, there's no tendency to pull them out of the ground. They have the literature all calls it an aerodynamic shape. The palm fronds are designed to reduce wind resistance. The fronds are long and narrow, and that helps. They're spongy trunks. This is interesting. The trunks are made of a spongy, fibrous material that can absorb and, say, dissipate energy from the wind. A lot of people will say, because I've seen it in literature, that palm trees are a member of the grass family. Well, they're really not. They're not a grass. They are a tree. But they do have that fibrous material in the trunk that is resistant to tree damage. And they just don't have a lot of branches. If you see a long palm tree, it's all trunk and fine foliage at the top. And the protective canopy, the canopy of a palm tree, shields the central bud, which is crucial for the tree's growth. But one other thing, and so those are all reasons why palm trees survive in a hurricane, but there's one other one that people have mentioned over the years, in that, and I heard this in a speech one time, I said, wait a minute. He said, over the thousands and thousands of years that there have been palm trees, that they simply have adjusted their growth and makeup to resist the wind, especially down in the tropics. Interesting. No way to prove that one, but it is interesting that it's just something they've adapted to. And I think that has some truth to it. I think a lot of plants adapt to a particular environment. But palm trees do survive, many of them survive these storms. That's a couple of the reasons.
All right, perfect. We do have Randy on the phone with a question, but we're also up against a break here, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Randy's question right after this.
And Wellness of Pensacola, they know you've heard of acupuncture, but what is it? Acupuncture is a time-tested holistic medicine that can help decrease pain and restore function. They treat patients suffering from chronic back pain, neuropathy, joint pain, arthritis, migraines, and so much more. They can also help with digestive disorders, infertility, anxiety, and depression. To learn more or schedule a consultation, visit awpensacola.com. Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola, where a healthier and happier you awaits.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas.
Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Welcome back to Pep Talk, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable, 850-437-1620 if you want to be part of the conversation today. So we also have Randy on the phone, and Randy has a question for Mike.
Hey, Randy, good morning.
Hey, Mike, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you bet.
I have some St. Augustine, and on the side of our driveway, there's some spots. The soil's pretty compacted from, you know, wide turns or tires getting in and out of the car. Yeah, what's the best way to loosen and maybe amend that soil to get the sod to grow back a little fuller and fill some spots in?
Well, that's a good question. I think the first thing to do would be probably to turn it. Go ahead and get in there and till that area, turn and soften up the area, if you will. Second, I would sod it. I would not plug it, seed it. I would sod that area back. Is it in the full sun?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, you're in good shape. I think it shouldn't be, well, I shouldn't say it won't be hard. It's a lot of labor, but I would certainly go ahead and turn it. I don't think there's any soil amendment that you need to put in unless if you're going to put in St. Augustine, put some lime, some dolomite lime, and as you're turning that soil, turn that lime in. Level it out, get it to the same level as the adjacent grass, sod it, and when you can do that now, this is a pretty good time to do that, and go ahead and sod it with St. Augustine, and then those teenagers in your house who are driving over the side of the driveway, you may have to. That's your problem.
All right, thank you for the phone call, Randy.
Randy, thank you for the call, my friend. Good luck.
All right, so we also have a question on the text line for you as well that I know you wanted to get to. So when should I turn off my sprinkler system for the year?
That's a tough question. It's not a tough question. Do not turn it off. Do not turn it off. October can be very, very dry. It can be relatively warm, but you got to keep that water on that grass. We mentioned at the beginning of the show that it would be a good idea to go back to our three times a week, at least a half an hour per zone. And I think if you do that, you'll be fine. Now, if we get into a period of rain, obviously just shut it off. But as we get into November, you may need to be doing some more watering. So I wouldn't cut it off for good. I would just watch the weather very, very closely. I really think that's one of the most important things we've talked about today. Mm-hmm. Is that we just, you know, it's cool, it's beautiful weather, but we can't neglect our irrigation. Not only in the lawn, but in any of the container plants we have, flower beds, that type of thing.
Okay.
So you need to do that.
I know you wanted to do a quick lightning round. You got 60 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, lightning round, 60 seconds. One, watch out for the sod webworms and chinch bugs in your yard. We've, on the Garden Line, talked about how to identify that. But inspect your yard every day. Just look for those spots because you may need to treat. Winterizer fertilizer is getting a little late, but keep in mind a low nitrogen, high potash, which is like a 5-0-25, is a good fertilizer. Do that. Weed killer, we talked a lot about that today. I would hold off till temperatures are in the 60s at night for 4 or 5 days, 80s, low 80s during the day. Then you can do it, but I wouldn't do it till then. And I got to thank all of our listeners for calling in on the phone, Texas. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.